speak tonight about worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety affect many people in this world. I saw a quote by Winston Churchill. It was during the height of World War II. Someone said to Churchill if he was worried about tremendous responsibilities that he had. And he says, "I'm too busy. I have no time for worry." Well, that may have not been true. I don't know. I don't know him. But the truth is that many people are worried or they get anxious. And I think we need to think biblically about these things. And hopefully what I'll say tonight has been helpful for my studies to reinforce what the Bible has to say, what the Lord Jesus has to say about it. And so hopefully this will be helpful for you as well tonight as we read and study together. Well, I'll read first of all from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. A well-known passage of scripture and a well-known saying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says these words, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" And so we'll leave that reading there for now. I know some of you might have a single cubit to his span of life. I read from the ESV and that says a single hour to his span of life, which certainly seems to fit the context, as we'll see. Later on in Matthew 6 here, we'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he speaks to his disciples, or speaks to the people there, and by implication, as he speaks to us, he gives us an instruction to seek first, verse 33 there, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to live a life of righteousness, and a life of righteousness in which we have trust in our Heavenly Father, who will supply all our needs in all our circumstances. And before we just go into this, I've got a few points I'd like to bring out to you tonight. We notice first of all, don't we, in verse 25 there, that the Lord Jesus Christ is almost emphasising his authority. "Therefore, I tell you." You know, remember that the preaching of the Lord Jesus amazed the people in his day, of course. They were astonished at his teaching, it later says, about this same sermon. "For he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes." And so we get the idea, even as a translator into English for us here, "I tell you." Really, the passage of scripture would make sense if we just said, "Therefore, do not be anxious." But the words "I tell you" bring before us, it's like, you know, remember, our mothers or fathers used to tell us off when we were young, you really get it, you know, "I tell you," you know, this is, you get that. Maybe you didn't get that, but I got that at school quite often, "I'll tell you." And obviously they were emphasising the importance of what was about to be said. And so the Lord's not wasting his words here. He's given to his people, he's speaking to us here, by implication here, something that he wants us to take in, something that he wants us to understand. It's essential for us to understand. And I've got some learnings for what I'm calling anxiety-free living. Learnings for anxiety-free living. We'll think later on how we're not going to reach perfection, but we shouldn't give up with regard to that. And so the first one is, Jesus tells us not to do something, doesn't he? He tells us not to do something. And what he tells us not to do is, do not be anxious. Stop being anxious. And if you are even started, don't be anxious, is what he is telling us here. Don't be anxious, don't be worried. You know, sometimes when we hear that commandment, and that's exactly what it is, a command of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, in the culture, in the time that we live in, can rationalise that, can't we? We can sort of dilute that down somewhat. to say, well, you know, I'm not quite sure if that's what exactly what he meant. We might not be articulating that in words, but in our heads we rationalise, we justify it. Because we get anxious, we do worry, and when we do that, we don't always see that as sin. And so what we do when we don't see it as sin, what we've done, what have we done if we haven't seen something, if we're disobeying a command of Scripture? And if we're disobeying a command of Scripture and we're kind of being content with that, when we've rationalised it, diluted it, we've put into the words of Jesus something that he didn't intend to say. Later, in Mark's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, just to emphasise that, he says to the rich young ruler, you know, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Now all of us here, I would imagine, would say, yeah, that teaching is very plain, very clear from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not commit adultery. We'd be horrified, wouldn't we, to dilute that down, justify it, and say, well, you know, in certain circumstances, that's okay. We'd say, no, action, no, we wouldn't want that. Yet sometimes it can be for ourselves. We can rationalise this. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. We can water it down. But what we need to firstly say, the first point I want is Jesus is commanding us here not to do something. You know, sometimes we can say in our own minds, or we can hear other people say, it's only natural to be anxious. Maybe you've heard that said. It's only natural to worry. And you might have heard someone else say, I can't help but worry. I can't help but be anxious. But the truth is, it might be natural to be anxious, but we're not natural. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that we're spiritual. Of course, the natural man esteems the things of God not. But we are not natural. We are spiritual. We've been changed by the Spirit of God. And we can help ourselves. We can help ourselves think correctly and biblically. By God's grace, we can control our minds. That's the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. So when I say, if I was to say to myself, you know, I can't help but worry, I can't help but be anxious, it's only natural I'm going to do that. Well, I might do that, but I've really got to see it as sinful. So I need to learn, we need to learn perhaps, what the Bible says, so we can think biblically about this issue of worry, anxiety. It's something Jesus has committed for us not to have. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, that the essence of worry is the absence of thought, a failure to think. The essence of worry is the failure of thought, a failure to think. We often think about, we thought about it on Sunday morning, of those who are born again should be concerned about sin. And so the question I ask myself, the question I ask you is, when Jesus says don't be anxious, do we see it then, being anxious, as sinful? We should do. We all should see it as sinful in our lives and not attempt to justify sin in our lives. And by God's grace, we can do battle with all sin in our lives. We can do that, undoubtedly. Jesus later on tells us that anxiety and worry are due to a lack of trust in our Heavenly Father. And so when I'm anxious, and when I'm worrying, and when I do that, if I was to do that, if you were to do that, we're really saying to a God who is all-powerful, who is all-loving and all-caring for us, I don't think I can trust you. It's kind of what we're saying at that time. When we strike a blow at the heart of God. Now, Jesus tells us not to do something. It's interesting. The word for worry actually is an old English word, which we have for worry here. It comes from a word which means to choke or to strangle. And that's what we do with our minds. We do that with our minds. You know, people who worry a lot and anxious a lot, their minds can hardly be on anything else. And it chokes and strangles the life out of them almost. You know, you can worry yourself to death, apparently, is a phrase. So it's a good way to think about it. Worry can create that fog, and anxiety create that fog in the mind where we don't think rationally, don't think rightly, don't think biblically. And Jesus says, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. And as I said, none of us arrived. I'm not preaching to you tonight and saying, oh, you know, I've arrived at a state where I'm anxious about nothing, I've got no worries about anything. I'm not preaching as a perfect man, but I'm not preaching to perfect people either. But that doesn't mean we give up. You say, well, we're not going to worry about that sin. We're not going to worry about that sin. Because Jesus, you know, I think, you know, Jesus didn't die to leave me as I am. He died that he might change me and might change you. And so we don't need, we have the power within, we have the resource within, that we can have victory. We can have victory over sin in our lives. So number one, Jesus tells us not to do something. The second thing, and these will be all quite quick really, Jesus directs us to the eternal, you know. He looks at the very basics of life, you know, and these were real issues for these people. You know, we have issues. What are we going to eat tonight? We've got such a lot of choice. What are we going to drink? We've got such a lot of choice. What will I put on? Well, we've got a wardrobe full of clothes. But this wasn't the issue for the people in those times, of course. It really, will I have anything to eat? Will I have anything to drink? Will I have anything to wear? And Jesus tells them to not be anxious about those things. Perhaps those things relates to those who are in the temporal world. You know, there is much to enjoy in this world. And it's a sin-soaked world. But there is much that we can enjoy that God has given us to enjoy. But when we look at this world and when we look at ourselves, how should we think? We should always remind ourselves this. That this world is temporal. Our bodies are physical. They do have remaining sin in them. And our bodies are temporal as well. This is not it. Where we live now is not it. But there is something that is eternal. There is something that is spiritual. There is something that is free from sin. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, we have to remind ourselves, don't we, that although we can live long lives, it seems to be long lives, isn't it? You know, and some of us are living a long life, you know. We are pilgrims. We are pilgrims. And for all of us, life is a vapour, as the Bible says. And Jesus is directing us to have our focus more, primary focus, on eternal things, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So number two is Jesus directs us to the eternal. He also directs us to our Father, to look at our heavenly Father. And he draws the analogy from nature. He goes, if you like, from the lesser to the greater, the birds of the air. And he says to the people all around, doesn't he? Verse 26 there. Look. And they could look. And they could see the birds of the air. And they'd be all around there. And we could see birds. We have them in our gardens. The birds don't worry about what they're going to eat. They get fed this seed I put in it from Costco each week sort of thing. And they kind of like that, it seems, at the moment. That's good. They don't worry. They're not concerned about being fed. And the Lord Jesus says, look at them. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather. And they don't store up stuff. Yet God feeds them. God feeds them. Now he says, look at yourselves. Are you of greater value than the birds? We know the answer to that, don't we? Are you of greater value than a sparrow in God's eyes? You are. No bird was ever created in the image of God. No bird was ever chosen to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But you and I, as individuals, are of great value in God's eyes. And so when it comes to worry and anxiety, the Lord Jesus Christ directs the people then and directs us now to look to our Heavenly Father. You know, you and I have a Father, as we did mention this on Sunday, but I'll mention it again. Have a Father who cares for us, has all resources to be able to care for us, has shown his great love towards us, and one who is committed to bring the very best for us, which is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus says to the people, now think rightly. Look, Don't be anxious. You have a heavenly Father. He feeds the birds. Do not think that he is going to take care of you. The one who has all the resources, all the knowledge and all the wisdom. He cares for us. He cares for us. Think rightly about that. Is what I think Jesus is saying. Think rightly, he says to me, and think rightly, he says to you, our Father. The fourth thing I noted down is this, that Jesus highlighted the folly of worry. The folly of worry. I think I've used this before, it's not my own, but someone said worry or anxiety is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but it doesn't get us anywhere. It's true. Doesn't get us anywhere. I need to tell myself that. I do tell myself that. I hope to continue telling myself that. And I think we all need to tell ourselves that as well. Worry achieves nothing useful or productive. Anxiety doesn't. You know, you can worry yourself to death. But as Jesus said, hey, you will not worry yourself to a longer life. Which of you, verse 27... which of you, by being anxious, can add, and this is where it says in the ESV, a single hour to his span of life? None of us, can we? It's just a truth, isn't it? It's axiomatic truth. We understand that. But we can worry, and people will get concerned, but you're not going to add an hour, you're not going to add 1 minute to your life. In fact, you might shorten it, they tell us. By worrying unnecessarily. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ isn't sort of saying, hey, well, don't bother looking after yourself physically and eating the right stuff and all that thing and making sure you get good sleep and whatever, all the advice that we get. That's true. It doesn't negate that. But, you know, by being worried, you know, he's not just being a... He's not saying be careless. Be careless with regard to life. Be careless with regard to your physical body. But being anxious is folly. Because you can't add a single hour to your own life. But if we give ourselves to God, if we give ourselves to God, and we do trust in him, I believe the Lord has promised that we will have a joyful life. There will be a life of joy that he will give to us. We're not anxious, we're not worried about these things, or we endeavour not to be. By God's grace, we look to our Heavenly Father to trust in him, and God will give us that, the joy in our own hearts. And he will determine the days. He will determine the days in his wise way. And he has all the wisdom. Fifthly, is Jesus directs us to this day. Jesus directs us to this day. Verse 34. Do not be anxious. We didn't read this. So let's read it together. Verse 34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Most people worry about what's going to happen. Anxiety about what's going to happen, anxiety about tomorrow, anxiety about the next month, anxiety about next year, anxiety, I mean, just add it on and add it on. When we play like a movie or have a moving picture show in our minds about what the days might bring. And frequently that picture show is not good, you know, and people worry about that and anxiety. But, you know, the Bible tells us that God will supply the grace and strength we need for the present day. For the day we're living in, for this day, God will supply the grace and strength we need to live this day and that which comes upon us. He will provide for that day all that we need when it is needed. It will meet all our physical and spiritual needs as we need them. It gives us that grace in the hour that we need it. And someone has said that if we worry about the future now, we experience the pain without having the grace to deal with it. I think that's wise. If we worry about the future now, if we're anxious about the future now, we experience the pain But we don't have the grace to deal with it if God's not dealt with it, and those things might not happen. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. So deal with the present day, the Lord Jesus says. Tomorrow will come, probably, maybe. And on that day, deal with that. Now, it's not against planning for the future and all these types of things. That's not what he's saying. But the anxiety, if we're thinking about these things, that we're getting all anxious and we're playing all sorts of parts and movies out in our mind about what's going to happen, Jesus says, don't do it. I'll give grace when it's required. And I will give enough grace when it's required. John Blanchard said this, that anxiety never strengthens you for tomorrow, it only weakens you for today. I'll read that again because it's quite good, obviously not by me. Anxiety never strengthens you for tomorrow, it only weakens you for today. It's true, isn't it? It's true. We've all experienced anxiety and worry and things like that. And all it does is debilitate us and reduces us in the present day and does nothing to affect the days that are coming, which we're kind of worried about. There's foolishness with regard to that. And so I hope we, you know, with these five ones, we take these are on board, look to take them on board and by God's grace apply them to our lives. But there's two more scriptures I'd like just to read to you as well. And one's in the book of Philippians. Well known, again. Book of Philippians, chapter 4. So five words from the Lord Jesus Christ, or 5 points I've brought to us. What the Lord Jesus Christ has wrote about worry and anxiety. And the sixth one is Paul shows us how to avoid anxiety. Paul shows us. And I'm going to read, which is in my Bible, the last 5 words of verse 5, and then verses 6 and 7 of Philippians chapter 4. And Paul writes this, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Louise, let's have just a little look at that. I'd never really noticed before until the last two nights the phrase, well, I'd read it obviously, but "the Lord is at hand" linked to what then follows. I'd never read it like that. Primary, I guess, maybe because the verse 6, the number 6, appears in my Bible between "the Lord's at hand, do not be anxious." So we always remember, "do not be anxious." We can probably quote that as a memory verse. But I think that the preceding words there are connected with that. "The Lord is at hand, do not be anxious," is how we have it there. You know, the Philippians, if we take it back to them, were experiencing suffering, they're experiencing persecution from those who called Caesar Lord. And there was much coming upon them, much more than we have in this country now, obviously, for persecution. And Paul encourages them to pray in the midst of their present distress. And he encourages them with that word, you know, "the Lord is near." The Lord is near. And he is near in a very real way to all who call on him. And he's near for us at all times. And we can call on the Lord and have a promise from Scripture, as we'll think, he'll never leave us or forsake us. The Lord is at hand. So the Lord is at hand, therefore, if you like, do not be anxious about anything. So the remedy for anxiety is prayer. In everything. In everything. So that's all encompassing, isn't it? It's not just the small things, it's not just the big things, it's everything. It's whatever concerns you, whatever you're anxious about, whatever you're worried about. You know, sometimes it is possible to think, you know, I'm being a bit foolish here. I'll just carry this because, I mean, I pray, this seems really ridiculous, you know. But the Father wants to hear his children's words, doesn't he? And although, if we take this into our existence, you know, if we think of fathers, you know, well, the child might come to them and their concerns might be just a little bit foolish, so to speak, you know, and, you know, that's a little bit daft in some ways, we might think. But they're real to the child. They're real to the child. And the good father will take that seriously. And he'll speak to his child about his concerns and anger, or their concerns and anxieties. So we, in all things, can take everything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, go to our Heavenly Father. And it's interesting, isn't it? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And so our prayers, and this is, you know, point six, Paul tells us how to deal with anxiety, by prayer is to be marked with thankfulness. Prayers with thankfulness. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And so we can approach God, I can approach God, you can approach God with an attitude of thankfulness, can't we? And we can do that, and we can think of the promises of Scripture. That God has promised in Scripture, whatever we believe our anxieties and concerns are, we can say, do you know, God, I'm thankful that you have promised that you will not allow anything to happen to me that will be too much for me to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We can be thankful for that. He's promised that. That's a guarantee. And not just for them, for us as well. So I can be thankful that my Father, all loving, all wise, has promised I will not bear anything that is too much. He'll give me the grace to cope with that when it comes, whatever comes. I'd say, Father, I can thank you indeed that you have promised, Romans 8:28 tells me, that you will work out everything for good. Everything for good, for eternal good. To be conformed to the image of Christ. Father, I give thanks, 1 Peter 5 says, that you will perfect, you will confirm, you will strengthen, establish in the midst of suffering, for example, or whatever anxieties. So you will work through. And as we said already, Father, I thank you that you will never leave me or forsake me. And you and I can say that, can't we? And as mayor, we could go on for a long time now, of course, and think of the promises of Scripture. We can think of the promises of God. We can think of the character of God through Scripture. And these are the things that are true. These are things that are true. And we, in our prayers, can be thankful with regard to that. And we can repeat those things. We can preach to ourselves. One of the things, a little sub-point we'll call this, that people suffer anxiety and worry and things like that is because they listen to themselves rather than speak to themselves. We must be people who are committed to speak to ourselves, to control our minds. And so there is a promise, isn't there? You love a contract where there's a clear promise, don't you? And God promises that if we take our prayers to him, by prayer and supplication, we take our prayers to him, if we make our request known to God, and we come in faith to a heavenly Father, there's a promise, verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God has promised that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is not of this world. It's a peace that only he can supply. But that peace will be given to you and to me when we bring our requests and supplications before God and we come in faith to him and we lay them before him. It will guard our hearts and minds. We've spoken just briefly, haven't we, a number of times. It is our hearts. How we think is important. We can control how we think. And God is making a promise here that that peace, if you like, will stand like a sentry guard, like a soldier on duty. And that will protect our mind. So there's our mind. It's being protected. What's it being protected by? It's being protected by the peace of God. And anxiety and concerns. God has promised. He's promised. If we've taken our prayers to Him, there's the condition for us. We'll guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. To experience that peace. You know, there's testimonies abound, isn't there? Of people who have been in very difficult circumstances. And in those circumstances, they have known the very peace of God. Circumstances which, you know, and you think, how to know peace in that circumstance? It's beyond comprehension to many. But they've known it. Because the God who of all resource has supplied that peace at that time for that person. And just the very last one. This is point 7. I don't know if that makes it perfect, but there we go. Point 7. Peter tells us where to put our anxiety. Peter tells us where to put our anxiety. This is 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And just the last one of the 7. Well, I'll read verse 6 just to connect that through. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Someone who's going to take them for us. The idea of putting something upon something else is the idea to cast them away from ourselves and onto something. Like the old casting of the fishing. It goes away from us. We, unlike the fishing net, we don't keep a hold of it. We put them. So all our discontent, our discouragement, our despair, our questioning, our pain, and our suffering, give it to God. He says that. Give it to God. Trade it in for trust in God, if you like. So we've got our anxiety. If we have anxiety, have concerns. So he's put it to God. And trust in him. Trust in all that he's told you about himself. All the promises, and some of them we've thought of tonight. All that we know about his character. All the other things we've just very briefly mentioned tonight. Because he is the one who cares for us. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God has demonstrated his love towards you and towards me when we were sinners. Now we're his sons. I mean, it's obvious that he's going to care for us, isn't it? We might not like the answer. The way ahead might not be the way we'd ever planned, of course. And that'll be true for every single one of us in life. But there's a God we can trust in and a God we can put our anxiety on. I hope these thoughts have been sort of helpful. I trust they're very biblical as well. Enable us to think rightly for all of us, in whatever lies ahead for each and every one of us. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow in your presence now. We give thanks indeed that you are a loving heavenly Father. Father, we thank you indeed for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that we've read tonight. Do not be anxious. Do not be worried. Father, we thank you indeed that we thought of you are a God who cares for us. One who doesn't want us to be anxious. One who tells us to look to you, to trust in you. The one who has all resources. The one who has all wisdom. Help us, Father, to be like the child who just places their hand in the hand of a father and trust him to lead them, guide them, and look after them. Give us that childlike trust, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.